Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. They were four fishermen, James and John, Peter and Andrew. They were experienced fishermen, their father Zebedee, at least John and James's father Zebedee, and they had a family business, and they were well acquainted with the ways of fishing. It was a normal business for them. Sometimes when they'd go out fishing all night long, they would come up empty. Fishermen in the congregation, you know, sometimes you come up empty and spend a lot of time and a lot of effort, maybe. Sometimes it's just sitting around with the line in the water, but sometimes you come up empty. And then sometimes you come up full. So many fish, you don't even know what to do with them. You limit out, you catch all that you can catch for the day. It's the way fishing goes. In the first century, fishing was done with nets. It wasn't done with poles and lures and the legitimately bait and switch. That's sort of where that term comes from, right? You bait and then it switches by hooking you. The first century fishermen used nets. And so what they would do is, of course, they'd take the net and they'd throw it out there into the water. They'd let the net sink down, sink down, sink down. And then you pull in the net, and then hopefully, it catches fish as it comes up. That's the kind of fishing that they were used to. So John and James were mending their nets, because you got to have the nets mended if you're going to fish. You can't have big gaping holes in the nets, or else the fish don't swim into it, or they swim out of it, and you can't catch fish with nets with gigantic holes in them. And Peter and Andrew, they were still fishing. Did you catch that? They were still in the boat fishing when Jesus called them, and so they just left their nets where they lay and followed Jesus. Now, we want to kind of clear something up before we proceed too far, and that is, this is not the first time that Peter and Andrew and James and John had encountered Jesus. Sometimes we get this picture that they're fishing and all of a sudden this guy shows up and he says, hey, follow me, and they just leave their family business and go. That's not the way that it was. And in fact, when we read in John and when we read in the other Gospels, James and John and Peter and Andrew had been acquainted with Jesus before. They knew what John the Baptist had said about, there's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. They knew who Jesus was. He wasn't unfamiliar. He didn't come out of the blue and call them and they just suddenly leave all that they know in order to follow him. They were acquainted with him. They had heard him teach before. They were at least aware of what Jesus was up to. And so they knew they thought they knew what they were getting into when they followed Jesus, although we're not exactly sure if they knew what they were getting into. And as we go along in the Gospels, we find out, yeah, they didn't really know what they were doing when they followed him. And in fact, at the very end, in the Gospel of John, when Jesus had died and rose again and was nowhere to be seen, Peter and Andrew, they all say, well, we're going fishing. In other words, they had followed Jesus. It didn't work out. They were going back to the family business. They were fine doing that, and yet Jesus still calls them out to follow him. Fishing here, as we know, is an analogy, a metaphor for what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about being fishers of men, fishers of people, or as some translations say, catchers of men. I don't really like that term so much, because fishing doesn't always involve catching, right? So we want to be careful that it's not just an automatic, it's not just a given. Being an evangelist, being a witness for Jesus, to go out and share the good news, is what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about going fishing for people. When we're casting the nets out there, the gospel, we're throwing it out there for people to hear in hopes that when we bring the net in, there are going to be people who follow Jesus mixed in that net. But we know how fishing goes. Sometimes being an evangelist means you come up empty. Sometimes you can witness and witness and tell people about Jesus over and over again till you're blue in the face, and you will come up empty. And just like any good fisherman, you're frustrated. right? When the disciples come up empty, when they're reeling in after toiling all night, it says in one of the Gospels that they had toiled all night and they come up empty, that they were frustrated. Of course. You put some hard labor into fishing and you don't catch anything, that's frustrating. When you're witnessing, when you're sharing the gospel and nothing happens, it's frustrating. It's hard to be a witness, to be a fisher of men. And sometimes what we end up doing as witnesses, as evangelists, as fishers of men, sometimes what we end up doing is trying the bait and switch. Some churches run into problems doing that. Where the bait is that it's all about being fun and being happy and being joyful, and following Jesus means that you're always successful and you're always healthy and you're always wealthy and you're always these things. And we know that that's not really how it works. That's the bait and switch. And a lot of people, lots of people, get caught in that bait and switch. We see it all over the nation, all through history. People have been caught up in this idea that somehow following Jesus means that your net is always full. But that's not the way that it is. Or that following Jesus means you never get frustrated and everything you do meets with overwhelming success. And that's not the way it is either. See, being a witness is hard work. Being a witness means that you go out time and time and time again, casting the net, casting the net, casting the net. And sometimes when you draw it in, there are people who follow. And sometimes when you draw it in, there are lots of people. Sometimes there's not that many. It's not always the New Testament, first century, thousands of people were baptized that day. It's not always like that. Now, I'm not saying that it's never like that, because sometimes it is. When we look through history, sometimes great numbers of people heard the message of Jesus, heard the salvation of our God, and believed. And it's amazing. I'll tell you. Serving in Eugene, that net, ooh, fishing in Eugene is rough. Being an evangelist and a witness in the Northwest is hard work. Whether it was when I was serving up in Alaska or here in Oregon, it's hard work. My friends in Washington say the same thing. It's hard work. And sometimes being a witness in this area means when you draw in that net, there are sharks. And they're just waiting to take a bite, take a chomp. You might lose a finger or two fishing in this area. And we all know that. You laugh because it's true, right? You laugh because you've experienced this. You've seen it. Maybe you've even witnessed to somebody before and gotten attacked for it. Or gotten shut out for it. Or gotten sort of cast out. Well, you're not welcome here anymore because you use that name, that Jesus name. We don't like that here. So you lose your job or you lose your connection or you lose your circle of friends or something. See, witnessing here takes on a whole different meaning. It's not just a net coming up empty. Sometimes it's a net coming up to bite you. But you keep fishing. That's the thing. You're not going to catch anything if you don't throw the net out. It's the old lottery thing, right? You can't win if you don't play. Yeah, if you don't actually witness, you're never going to see the fruit of that witnessing. So you can make that choice to say, well, I'm just never going to do it again. I'm happy with the way my faith is for me. Happy with my personal, you know, faith journey, my walk with God. I'm good with the way that it is. Everybody else sort of has to fend for themselves. Well, I mean, you can do that. Sort of goes against what Jesus says when he says, go into all of the world, preaching the gospel, baptizing, making disciples. But hey, you know, to each his own. Witnessing is hard. And that's what Jesus is about today in our gospel reading. He's calling Peter and Andrew and James and John to follow him so that he can teach them how this is done. So he can show them how this is done, and not only just show them, but he's actually going to do it so that you can see how it's done. And that's what we need. We need examples. We need to see witnessing happening. And I will tell you what, all through this congregation, it's happening. We don't always talk about it. We don't always share it. But I think this year that's going to change a little bit. I think we need to talk about the witnessing that we do, whether it's successful or not. We need to share the stories. In the book of Acts, that's what the disciples always did. They would share the stories of their missionary journeys, of their throwing out of the nets and the successes that they had and the failures that they had and the times they were arrested and the times that they were run out of town and told never to say the word Jesus again, and yet they did. Not much has changed, has it? So this year, let's share those stories. Let's share those fishing stories. I know I talked about that before, about sharing your fish stories, but we're not sharing fish stories, we're sharing fishing stories. So in your various circles of people that you know in the congregation, folks that you get together with, whether it's in Bible study or whether it's in coffee or whatever the case may be, share fishing stories. Talk to one another about what it looks like to cast the net in this place at this time. A lot of my fishing stories end up with empty nets. I'll say that to be very honest. I'm not a successful evangelist in that sense. I don't have throngs of people following Jesus because of my eloquent words, as Paul says. I didn't come to preach with eloquent words, because what I'm preaching is what Jesus did on the cross, not what I do. So my fishing stories don't always end up very successful. My nets are not full. But that's okay. My fishing stories often involve people who, well, fish that we normally wouldn't want to reel in, because they involve the people who sleep around the building, who leave messes wherever they go, who live in tents. Those are most of my fishing stories. But I don't stop fishing. Right? I don't stop sharing the gospel just because I know the folks who live in tents probably aren't going to come in the doors, because sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. And not that I'm out there fishing to see if I can get them to change their lives and amend their ways and somehow. That's not the point. Jesus didn't heal all of the demons and all of the paralytics and all of the epileptics and all of that so that they could somehow live a better life. He did it because he's Jesus, and that's what he does. He heals people. When Jesus is fishing, that's who he is. When Peter and Andrew and James and John are out there casting the net, when they're out there sharing the gospel, when they're out there healing in the gospels, when we read that, that's what they're doing. They're not out there to help people live a better life or promise something that they can't have. When Jesus came and lived and died again and rose, he didn't do it so that we can have somehow some healthy, wealthy, successful life. He did it because he's Jesus, and we need him to be. As Jesus calls the disciples to follow him, he knows that their fishing is going to be hard, that their fishing is sometimes going to be unsuccessful, and that ultimately they would follow him all the way into death. We follow Jesus the same way. We know that as followers of Jesus, we're going to end up following him into death. But we also know that we're going to follow him into life. Into life everlasting. And not just some heavenly realm of harps and gold halos, but into a true, real life. life everlasting. And that's the gift of the gospel. That's what we cast out when we're sharing, when we're fishing. Peter, Andrew, and James, and John didn't fish on their own either. Jesus went with them. Wherever they fished, he was there. Whether in body or in spirit, Jesus was with the disciples as they cast the net. He promises the same for you and me. He says, "Behold, I am with you to the very end of the age. I am with you. I am with you. Wherever you go, whatever net you're casting, whoever you're fishing with, Jesus is there." He doesn't say it's going to be easy, but he says he's going to be there. And we believe that. And we fish because of that. Not because we're promised success, but because we're promised his presence. So 2023, I know we're already a few weeks in. Let's share those fishing stories with one another. Write it in the newsletter. Send out emails. Share your fishing stories. Share how God is at work. Let everybody know. Sometimes the net is empty. Sometimes it's full. But with Jesus, it's always successful. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard and keep our hearts always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.